Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast. Starring Dave Schilling, Calvin Booth, Rashad McCants, Joey Devine, Sebastian Telfair, Sheldon Williams, Mr. Candace Parker, Sean Keane, Mark Madsen, Patreons, Feeling Minnesota. Thank you, Minnesota. Morrisonic Podcast. Thank you, Mr. Podcast. Maxwell Cardone. Thank you, Maxwell. Barrett Baldelli. Thank you, Barrett. Musical Guest. Owl City! And now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with our first brand new episode in the new year. Hello, 2020! Goodbye 2019, and of course, hello war with Iran. Very sick. Love it. So cool. Love this, how this is all going. Sean Keane, you're here. You're my co-host. What's up?
Not much, Joey. I'm just, it was weird how the first shots of the war were fired by Kevin Love at Chetty Osman.
That was true, yeah.
Going against strategic U.S. interests, but, sometimes you got to go rogue.
Just in case anyone cannot decipher sarcasm, war sucks, this sucks, fuck everything, I'm sorry. But before we get to everything else, some business off the top. Follow us on Twitter at RoundRockPod. Email us at RoundRockPod@gmail.com. Subscribe to our Patreon at Patreon.com/RoundRockPod. And or call us on the phone on the number you'll both hear later and can see in the description of the show. Do I have any other business to do, Sean? Did I remember it all? It's been so long.
That's pretty tight.
All right, sick.
Sick AF, I would say. But not as sick as that Iranian... No, I'm not even...
Yeah.
Stop going to war!
Yeah.
It's there's no reason, and it's not going to work, for one. It's not going to be a winning effort. What are we trying to do?
What would even be... Like, what would... it working even be Do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't even know.
It seems so pointless and so fucking stupid. And vote for Bernie Sanders, please.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still holding out hope that Jill Stein will throw her her doctor's hat back in the ring. Just because I remember when I gave $75,000 to that recount effort, Joey.
You did, yeah.
That wiped me out.
That's why we had to start our Patreon.
Yeah, I saving that, I was like, LA is expensive. And I'm like, you know what? She was once an alderman, almost.
Anyway, sorry to bum everybody out right off the top, but it really fucking sucks and I can't stop thinking about it. But you know what the other thing I can't stop thinking about is, Sean?
What's that?
We made a mistake on our last episode.
You know, technically, a guest made a mistake.
Well, you know what? Our guests are representative. I'm a team player, and unlike Kevin Love, I take responsibility for the mistakes my 900-year-old college coach, the children who play point guard with me, and our basketball feelings expert.
Look, I will trust whatever she says about things in Canada, because the real things already sound fake to me.
But we know we're being confusing here.
Yeah, sorry.
Let's look, we have a correction. A listener called us in. Robot, play the correction.
Look, I know that Sean and Joey seem like they're incapable of making mistakes. But it's not true. Even gods make mistakes, which Sean and Joey definitely are. They made me say that. So here is a correction. That's right. We're doing corrections now. Everyone does whoopsie sometimes. Well, not me, because I'm a robot. Here's a correction.
Hey, Roundball Rock Pod. This is Sam Toman, at MidtownKW on Twitter. Yeah, I was listening to your excellent pod with Katie Heindel and Kelly Dwyer, and just wanted to point out one correction. Jamal Murray is not from Mississauga. No disrespect to Mississauga. Shout out to those guys. But no, he's from Kitchener, Ontario. Kitchener is actually part of like a bunch of cities clustered together called Waterloo Region. And Waterloo Region is famous for Seagram's Gin, Blackberry, Blake Murphy, celebrated Twitter basketball guy, is from there. What else? They film The Handmaid's Tale here. There's a lot of Mennonites. We're kind of like the Amish. Two universities, and it's basically the Columbus, Ohio of Canada. So a bit under the radar, but still a decent place to live. No respect to Mississauga. Again, those guys are great. The Raptors 905 G League team are there. And just listening again to your podcast, if anyone was wondering, Woodbridge is absolutely the New Jersey of Toronto. So thanks again, guys. The best part about the Raptors winning the title last year was discovering your pod. And, stay good. Bye.
Thank you, Sam. I'm sorry we made a mistake about Kitchener, Ontario. It won't happen again.
We're really sorry, and it was a great correction too.
Yeah, really.
Also, great. You know what? I gotta say, it was a very Canadian correction because it contained two compliments for a different city that, you know, arguably wronged him. but Sam, we have a bonus for you later in the episode.
We do, yeah. I should also mention, for those that listen to our episode last time, we have gotten word from listener Silky Johnson.
Yes.
Follow him. First off, follow him on Twitter at SilkyJohnson23. Every episode, the entire episode was helping him choose which NBA team to root for. Mm-hmm. And he came out on New Year's Day with a statement that I'm going to read here in its entirety. First, I want to thank Roundball Rock for their support, also Jeebus for being one righteous dude, and a special shout out to all the coaches, NBA team governors, and fans for all the love that I've received during the process. Here are my top three choices for teams to root for. Hashtag Grind City. Hashtag Mile High Basketball. And hashtag Vice City. So his top three is, of course, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Denver Nuggets, and the Miami Heat. And I'm going to say right off the top, you know what? Three good choices. If I was going to move teams, those would probably be my top three.
No, they're fantastic choices. I mean, I'm way into the Memphis Grizzlies, I have to say. Talking up Ja Morant, listening to the Fast Break Breakfast podcast.
And
it makes me and a secret podcast
called
that
Grits
will not be named Grits and Grinds. We don't know who runs it. It's great. You should definitely subscribe to it. And don't tell any married women in the Nashville area about it. Right?
I have an idea I want to announce for our show. Silky Johnson, before you make your decision, we want you to come on Roundball Rock, and we will have three representatives from the fan bases of those three teams.
Yeah.
Pitch you on joining the team, and at the end of the episode, you will make your decision.
Yeah, I think I have a representative in mind for each.
I do too.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm sure it's the same three.
It's the same three people.
But we will talk to them shortly. That being said, thank you, Silky Johnson. Thank you again for Sam and Kitchener. Follow him on Twitter at MidtownKW to learn all about Kitchener, Ontario, and, of course, the Waterloo region. We did get another call from another friend of ours. Should we play that right now?
Oh, yeah.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342, please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
Hey, Big Corpse here. Watching this Blazers Knicks game, and the Blazers are like not winning right now. And I'm going to be real with you guys. I'm a little tired. Went to a party last night. Didn't get enough sleep. But I'm just watching this team, and it's stupid. It's stupid. It's dumb. And I guess I just want to know, like, what's the stupidest basketball team that you've watched in the last, like, 10 years or so? So thanks. And hey, have a wonderful day. Big Corbs, what's up? Ladies, what's happening? Bye-bye.
All right, that's right. You just heard Big Corbs. Corbin A. Smith,
ooh,
the host of, or former host, I guess, of the Take It or Break It podcast.
Leaving us shortly.
Yeah. And he wanted to, of course, know, Sean, what's the stupidest basketball team that you watched in the last, like, 10 years or so?
You know, it's weird because I still kind of think, like, the stupidest, I think we're past the point where the stupidest basketball decision happened, which was the Warriors giving Steven Jackson that 3-year extension with 2 years left on his deal. I think because they were scared of Steven Jackson, and then Steven Jackson almost immediately demanding a trade. The stupidest team in that time. I kind of think it was like the 2014 Lob Nation Clippers.
Oh, interesting.
Just because so many stupid things happen to that team all the time. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking of Chris Paul trying to get a 3-shot foul while being intentionally fouled in the backcourt, losing the ball, the game, and the series to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm-hmm. There's probably, God, there's so many great dumb moments. Jason Kidd spilling that soda, that was a really dumb Nets team too, which I guess would be the 2014 Nets? Yeah, 2013-14 Nets. Jason Kidd spilling a soda, just a bizarre combination of players. Kevin Garnett aged 10 years overnight when he moved to Brooklyn. And they mortgaged their entire future to add a bunch of Celtics players they didn't even like and, like, dump Gerald Wallace, who they had effectively traded Dame Lillard for 2 years earlier. And the team was, like, carried by Sean Livingston. And they were, like, way worse than the previous team that was just Brook Lopez and a bunch of hardworking dudes. That I think that's the dumbest team. And then Paul Pierce immediately left in the offseason because he hated Jason Kidd so much.
The stupidest team I've watched in the last 10 years is the 2010-11 Golden State Warriors. It was a team coached by Keith Smart, who only coached the team because the Warriors ownership bought the team too late to fire Don Nelson.
Yeah.
It was like, so they fired him, but couldn't really hire someone new. So they just promoted his lead assistant. And something Keith Smart used to do every game was bench Steph Curry for no reason to play AC Law the fourth, who the Warriors had traded in the summertime a first round pick for. It had Corey Maggette on it.
Yeah.
It had Charlie Bell, who showed up for a DUI hearing that year drunk.
Drunk, yeah. This is not the one that has a matching tattoo with Kevin Durant. That is a different Charlie. No,
yeah. It had Dan Gadzarich on it.
Incredible that he, who eventually did get them Draymond Green somehow.
Their second best player was Reggie Williams.
Yes.
Even though Steph Curry was on the team, he was constantly being benched all the time.
Well, and AC Law got it was crazy how much AC Law existed in our memory and how short a time he was on the team. Joey, do you know when AC Law got traded off of the Warriors?
The next year?
It was November 16th. Traded for him on June 25th. And this stuff was so, when you were saying it, I was getting mad at AC Law again. And then I was like, when did they finally get rid of him? And November. Oh, yeah. So they traded him, to get Rajah Bell and Vladimir Radmanovic. A wonderful man, not a great player. Yeah, they decided they'd rather have AC Law than Jamal Crawford.
They also, of course, had Jeremy Lin on the team, but cut him for no reason that summer.
My God, I'm sorry. AC Law, they traded him. He came back for the 2010-11 season.
Yeah.
As a free agent. Sorry.
Oh,
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
No, this he was team. There all year.
Yeah. He was for sure there all year. I just got, God, these insane transactions they make in this era.
This team also had Al Thornton on it for some reason. But the real reason this was the dumbest team I'd watched, is because it's the first year the Golden State Warriors played, where they had David Lee instead of Anthony Randolph.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes, they did not have Anthony Randolph anymore. One of the dumbest players the Warriors had, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they never really let the Curry Randolph magic
really would have worked
simmer, you know,
mm-hmm.
form a nice little stew.
Yeah. And of course, again, they had Jeremy Lin and then they cut him for no reason. And then they used their stretch provision on Charlie Bell instead of Andres Biedrins, which, leads to them trading all their first round picks to sign Andre Iguodala, which is cool and all, but they could have just, you know, waived him.
Yeah, they could have waived.
Instead of the $3 million Charlie Bell contract. all right.
What a team.
so great.
Is that the year? Yeah. Then, okay.
What was your question? Go ahead.
I remembered when the Rick Barry thing happened, and it was not that. It was
no,
the year
it's
after.
The next year. Yeah. Do I have to play that because you mentioned it?
Well...
Yeah, I don't.
We are a podcast of laws.
Hey, one second here. Come on, people. You fans are the greatest fans in the world. I already said that. Show a little bit of class. This is crazy. Seriously. Come on. You're doing yourself a disservice. All of the wonderful accolades being said to you, for you to treat this man who is spending his money to do the best that he can to turn this franchise around, and I know he's going to do it. So give him the respect he deserves.
All right. Vlad Radmanovich, by the way, that year played 74 games for the Golden State Warriors. All right.
No snowboarding at all. Kind of sad, actually, when I think about that.
Should we go to the news?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, what's our top story?
So, Joey, our top story today, of course, is... It's a sad story, Joey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The ride has been shut down.
Oh, Marquis Chris, the fair has left town.
The Warriors cut 22-year-old center and round ball rock hero Marquis Chris to make room for Steph Curry's brother-in-law, Damian Lee.
The NBA is a buzz about it. It's just the biggest news possible.
It's all anyone's
it's all anyone can talk about. It's that and Iran just...
Yeah, we were going to do an emergency podcast about it, but we were both crying too hard last night, so we couldn't do it. In his honor, the Warriors executed the worst 4-on-1 in the history of the NBA against the Ride's hometown team, the Sacramento Kings. So that was a fitting tribute
Definitely.
To what Marquis Chris is all about.
The only
I would say.
Thing that would have made it more fitting is if Alan Smilajic had then pushed De'Aaron Fox into the crowd for no reason afterwards.
Yeah, started a fight and I can't believe they only lost that game by 13 points. Anyway, I don't see how that happened. They should have lost by 33.
Anyway, the Warriors did it to sign Steph Curry's brother-in-law, Damian Lee. My first question for you, Sean, is this nepotism?
It is clearly nepotism.
It's not. Damian Lee's been like their best player this year. It's really depressing.
I don't know. This and the Curry family dynamic, I feel like it's basically, I think some of this is one of the reasons they did it was to make Austin Rivers feel worse about himself because he is now in the Curry family too. It's weird that the Curry family has taken the like essentially annexed the Rivers family.
Yeah, it's like they're like Puerto Rico to the Currys, right?
Right. I was kind of thinking more of like the Anschluss.
Yeah.
But
they're Guam. The Rivers, Austin Rivers is Guam.
And so he's technically a citizen of Curry Nation, and he doesn't get like a lot of resources of like love and attention from his own family. Mm-hmm. Maybe his mom. I don't know why I'm so mean to Austin Rivers all the time. I kind of do. Look at him. Look at that face. Look at him in a Duke uniform. No, but Damian Lee has been good. Ironically, the reason he's had an opportunity to shine so much is that the Warriors chose Marquese Chriss over Alphonso McKinney, their former...
Who also got cut today.
Oh, he did.
By the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The circle of life. But, you know, I like the idea of having Marquese Chriss, and I think that's the perfect way to appreciate Marquese Chriss, in theory.
I certainly liked watching him more than I like watching Willie Cauley-Stein.
I don't really agree with that. Like, but Willie Cauley-Stein is probably more of a bummer inherently, but I feel like that more has to do with expectations.
At least Marquese Chriss did cool dunks every once in a while. Willie Cauley-Stein doesn't even do that.
Marquese, I would say that I think after watching him for a whole season, I think Marquese Chriss is still pretty bad at basketball.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. Dude. 100%.
This is year four.
But that's part of the charm. Chris.
No, I mean, look, I'd take the ride again in a second. I mean, and they didn't really want to cut him. They just ran out of time.
Well, that's the problem. My next question for you, Sean, is does this mean no one wants to trade for all the veteran Warriors on 1 year deals?
I mean, I would say yes.
Yeah, it's what it means.
It's possible that they don't actually want to trade Willie Cauley-Stein yet, but also at the same time, I'm not sure who's clamoring for Willie Cauley-Stein right now.
They have to trick Danny Ainge somehow. That's the only way.
That's like you need a different big.
He's not trickable, but it's the only team that is like very clearly has a need for a different center.
I do think someone will trade for him, but it'll just be much closer to the deadline. Nobody wants to commit to Willie Cauley-Stein again right now. Like right now, he is like a recently divorced man on Tinder. You know what I mean? Where like it's not that much of an investment, but even just like the cost of your time, the opportunity cost, just it's a stay away. He's got the Warriors need to wait till Willie, like somebody needs a wedding date. maybe someone's widowed. You know what I mean? Like, I still don't think he's been frustrating, but I don't think he's that bad and he doesn't make much money. But at the same time, he's not a dude you dream on, you know?
Bad. All right.
His numbers are good though. Yeah. But anyway,
he was also losing minutes to Marquese Chriss. As early as 3 weeks ago, he got a little better after that happened, but still, that was
it's a bad sign.
All right,
and also, the guys I think they were trying to trade quicker were Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson. I still think there might be a market for those guys, but just it's a weird like inertia of the NBA trade market. Where...
Okay, the joke of pretending this is the biggest story has now gone on too long. Right, we need to move on. Right. My real favorite story in a very long time happened this week. Kevin Love, Sean, threw a massive tantrum on the court. And this is, I want to point out, first off, Sean, do you have something to say here?
I was just saying, walk us through what happened.
Oh, yeah. First off, I want to point out that this is not even the first tantrum he's had on the court this year. He purposefully got a three in the key like a month ago to like have a mini tantrum. And this is I have watched this video so many times. It's unlike anything I've ever seen.
It honestly looks like an art film.
So the Cavs are winding the clock down to finish the half for no reason, first off. Let's start there. Colin Sexton is dribbling the ball, the timeout, even though there's an 8-second difference between the shot and game clock. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, while that's happening, Kevin Love is standing in in the paint with pretty deep positioning with Chris Paul on him, waving his hands while he and the coach look like glower and scream at each other.
Yes. Yes.
Then Kevin Love gets so fed up, he walks all the way up to Colin Sexton and screams for the ball.
Yes.
But at this point, there's 5 seconds left on the shot clock, right?
Yeah, it's so weird that they're holding the ball that long even to begin with, but yeah.
He finally gets the ball and then realizes how much time is left on the shot clock and overhead rifle passes it at Chetty Osman and throws it so hard at Chetty Osman. Chetty Osman cannot catch it. Who then heaves up a terrible contested three-pointer. If you haven't watched the video, I highly recommend you do. It is... We're like 2 steps away from Kevin Love pulling a full Tannenbaum.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to describe it.
And all I said... My thing is look... I loved watching this video so much. I love watching this video so much that I just never want Kevin Love to get traded because I only want to see more and more elaborate on court.
Just rage outs.
Yeah.
The way he throws the ball to Chetty Osman is remarkable in its fury. And It's so
unnecessary because it's like being mad at your wife and like kicking a dog, like what you hear about in like the '50s, like some shitty husband doing. Because Chetty Osman is not the problem; everyone else is. He's like a child of abuse.
Yeah, he is. He's like the Cleveland Cavaliers are literally a broken home, and it's a broken home that Dan Gilbert's company is going to repossess because of the mortgage is underwater.
So, Sean, I want to ask you, what is the next thing you'd like to see Kevin Love do to in protest on the court?
Okay, so he's punched a chair,
mm-hmm.
he's taken an intentional 3 seconds, mm-hmm. and he's just yelled at everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him try to foul out in the first quarter. Just all like Euro fouls and like how many fouls can he commit before Bayline freaks out and pulls him? Because I think he might keep him in with 2.
I think he could get to 4.
I think he could get to 4, too.
Yeah.
So I think he could foul out before halftime. I don't know that he could do it in the first quarter. But I could see Kevin Love getting some real blatant technicals. Like intentionally untucking his jersey and just getting a bunch of delay of game technicals.
I should point this out. I asked this question on Twitter and our friend Monta World Peace,
yes.
Responded, he's going to wear a hat.
What do you think? Like a big cowboy hat?
That's what someone else suggested afterwards.
That is what I imagined when I read that was like 10 gallons, if not 12.
How many timeouts do you think Kevin Love could call to burn them all in the third quarter before he gets pulled?
Could
he use them all?
I mean, I think he could call 3 on his own. And that's out of the 7 they have.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's pretty good.
That would be good.
I mean, look, now that you've mentioned the timeout thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want him to get traded to the Bulls and play for Boylan.
Oh, do we have to talk about... Should we talk about that real quick?
We'll talk about that real quick, yeah. So Boylan weirdly was bragging about how much they practice playing without timeouts.
Because as he uses them all immediately.
I don't know why he thinks it's like, I don't know, like shoveling a driveway and a t-shirt. That's the way he was talking about timeouts. Like, having timeouts is, like, weak.
Yeah, it's for the weak.
Just, like, a weird thing. I'm like, now they're kind of, like, you kind of need them sometimes when you're trailing. Oh, and the other thing that Boylan does is he calls lots of timeouts when they're losing in blowouts. Mm-hmm. And it infuriates other coaches. And so last night, Daniel Gafford, the rookie center, went down with what looked like a pretty painful,
really
ankle
bad
strain,
injury. Yeah, yeah,
and just fell down on the free throw line. And did the ball go out of bounds, or there was a delay of game? But the Bulls did not
call a timeout to get him out of the game.
And Boylan said the refs were even like, "You see the guy's down," and Boylan's like, "No, I'm subbing." And then Tim Hardaway Jr. had to intentionally foul somebody on the other end just so he could get out. It's like something you would have seen, like, you know how in soccer when someone's hurt, the team will, like, kick the ball out and then the other team just politely throws it back to them afterwards? Mm-hmm. This was the opposite of that.
It really seemed like Boylan was like a dad who was mad at his son, Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, he is the most great Santini of NBA coaches. He came very close to just bouncing a basketball off of Gafford's forehead.
But it's so crazy it happened 2 days after he was like bragging about playing without timeouts.
Yeah.
And how he doesn't mind burning them. And then a guy is hurt and he does not use one. It's insane. Yeah.
It's like the announcers have no idea what's happening because they have not seen that happen. Like, it's like, that's why you get a lot of timeouts. So one is not that big a deal. Oh, incredible.
But back to Kevin Love. Yes. Sean, walk us through what happened after the game.
So Kevin Love, embarrassed, clearly mad at the coach, wants to show that he's not.
He'd gotten fined earlier that day.
Oh, yes. He'd gotten fined earlier
yelling,
that
for
day.
For screaming at Kobe Altman, the GM.
And he said, "I don't care. I have plenty of money." Uh-huh. When he was threatened with the fine. The fine was also $1,000.
Which is so. Look. I don't make very much money. But even if I really, 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 really had to, I could pay $1,000 fine. You know what I mean? It would take me like a month's worth of work.
Right.
But if somebody fined me $1,000, I could pay it. Like, that is...
But given what you make relative to Kevin Love...
No, that's what
this
I'm
is
saying.
Like, yeah.
Like, I am like... I am poor enough.
You could still handle it.
Yes. I am poor enough. Yeah, exactly. I shouldn't be... What I'm saying is... Look,
I think you might not even think about it that much once you paid it, too.
I would, because I'd be like, oh, man, I remember when I had to pay that $1,000 that really hurt this year. But
now
still,
I'm in debtor's prison. Yeah.
But still, like, again, I'm pro. Get fined $1,000 every day, Kevin Love. This is great.
Oh, yeah, for yelling at your boss in front of all your coworkers. Yeah.
And you're just giving back, like, you're just giving back a fraction of stealing the worst man on earth's money. Like, do it. But I'm just saying, Kobe Altman, $1,000 fine is wild. I've never seen a fine that low in the NBA. Like, is this kangaroo court? At the end of a baseball season where they're like, you owe us $7 because you didn't bring donuts to the clubhouse that one time or whatever.
Yeah. There weren't enough sunflower seeds in that backpack. That's so weird. Oh, yeah. So afterwards, Kevin Love makes a post on Instagram explaining that he loves his teammates. And then he gets very Kyrie. He's a little cryptic. Let me read the caption. Why am I making it sound like I'm like summarizing a novel here.
Oh, while we're talking, while you brought up Kyrie, look, we have so much to cover, we can't do everything.
Right.
But we should mention that apparently the reason Kyrie is still hurt for the Nets is, and I'm not making this up, it seems like something we'd make up, but I swear to you, we did not. It's because he's trying to heal his shoulder using alternative medicine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's...
He's going to be the first... He's going to be like the Steve Jobs of basketball.
Yeah, he's going to actually die from like a torn labrum.
I mean,
like,
I meant...
How did that happen? And it's like, well, he just only ate fruit.
I meant more his career's going to end just because he's like, no knee surgery for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to drink juice to make it better.
Yeah. Okay, so before this Instagram post, 3 days ago, Kevin Love posted a picture of the Joker.
Mm-hmm. The Joaquin, Phoenix Joker.
Golden Globe Award winner, Joaquin Phoenix, the greatest actor of our generation, putting his fingers in his mouth to make the Joker smile. Mm-hmm. And the caption was, mood.
Uh-huh.
And then, it was the same day. He posted pictures of him with his teammates. A lot of non-truths being shared, but I've learned we live in a world where people remember accusations and not rebuttals. Let them paint whatever picture they want. Fact is, and he uses an M dash, I love my teammates, and then three bicep emojis. Mm-hmm. And the first picture is him with his arm around Colin Sexton, and it looks pretty affectionate. Like, he's really, it's a good, like, side hug. He's got his hand on his shoulder. Looks kind of like a veteran leader. The next picture is him barely touching Chetty Osman's back.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I would describe the amount of contact as like first dance at the sixth grade prom.
He's like 1 inch away from doing the Keanu Reeves hover hand.
Yeah. It looks like they're, yeah, exactly. He looks like he's trying not to get Me Too'd in a picture. He's kind of looking at him. They're just very far apart in this mm-hmm. picture. And that was like the most loving picture he could find. And I think the reason is that, two parts to this. Obviously, Osman is a child of abuse, and you have to approach him gingerly like a feral animal. But also, Kevin Love, I don't think, knows how to hug. Because I looked up some other pictures of Kevin Love, and there's a picture of him celebrating with LeBron, and he's lifting LeBron in the air, and he is hugging LeBron way too hard.
I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
Do you think Mike Love knows how to hug?
No way.
Right. That's what you have to remember. This is the family he comes from.
Uncle Mike, will you give me a hug? And he's like, not now, kid. Uncle Mike needs to find his cap.
Mm-hmm. In Mike Love's book...
Don't look at my bald spot, Kevin. Shoot more free throws.
In Mike Love's book, there's a story about... Dennis Wilson doing something bad. I don't remember what it was, but it was for sure bad. So Mike Love sends Kevin Love's dad, Bob, to Dennis Wilson's house, and he beats him. He beats the shit out of him with the receiver of a phone. So, and
yeah,
Mike Love is telling this story like he's the hero. So yeah, and I think it tracks that, you wouldn't know how to hug if you were from that family.
Yes.
Anyway, keep stealing that money, Kevin Love, from Dan Gilbert. You're the best. This is the only cool thing you've ever done in your entire mm-hmm. life.
It's true.
Except be the most famous college player when you were fat. That was also cool.
That was pretty tight. Yeah. But that has been done a couple times.
Also, he had a really bad pencil thin beard, so it kind of counteracted it.
It was weird. Yeah.
And if you haven't seen a picture of what college Kevin Love looked like,
we'll tweet that up now and it'll blow
your mind.
We'll tweet one out.
I'm pretty sure they replaced Kevin Love at some point, is really what happened. It's like Andrew WK.
So I would say. Joey, I just have a simple question. How does the decision to hire a first-time NBA coach who is 66 years old look right now?
Not great.
Not great.
What if – is he also from college, so he's used to just screaming and getting his way constantly?
Yeah, at Michigan and West Virginia. And what were the players mad at him before? Because he named plays after animals?
I don't or they remember. Were... But that was also clearly coming from Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson.
Oh, absolutely. It was. Hate it. Yeah, and I do think for people who are like, Kevin Love signed that contract, you should eat a dick. I do think he didn't. I do think when he signed that, Cleveland was not actually planning to tank this hard.
Yeah, they told him he was. They were. Their whole plan was to compete.
Right, and then what was going to happen in the draft?
I'm sure Dan Gilbert thought because LeBron James had just left, they were going to give him the number one pick.
It happened 3 out of 4 times the last, so I don't really blame him. But unfortunately, the league awarded New Orleans the number one pick for losing Anthony Davis instead. So, tough luck.
Hey, we had a trade, Sean.
Oh, we did. Almost on, exactly 2 weeks ago. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Trades. That's right, we're talking about trades.
/ Capspace URLs, you remember, we talk about Capspace all the time in the program. / Capspace, let them know that you came from us. Limited time only, terms apply.
Protected picks.
You can even create a beautiful website while listening to this podcast. Over 140 million people choose Wix to create their website. Create yours today. That's wix.com/woj, W-O-J, to get 10% off.
Rights to euros that are never coming.
Enter code NBA at checkout for $20 off your first order.
Expiring salaries.
And if you missed it, we launched the Recapables Billions podcast on our Recapables feed.
Treating people like their assets and not people.
ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, L-O-W-E post. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Even robots know that basketball is a business, so players shouldn't have feelings because of business. Trades.
All right. Almost exactly. Go ahead. What were you going to say? Because I'm going to leave that in. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. the trade was almost it was on December 23rd, just before Christmas, before we took our recording break. And it was what's like a it wasn't really a blockbuster as much as like a slight block gentrifier.
I mean, more importantly, it was a trade when we hadn't had one of those since Russell Westbrook got traded.
That's true.
So Jordan Clarkson got traded to the Jazz for Dante Exum and 2 second-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, I want to ask you a question. It sort of feels like they overpaid for Jordan Clarkson a little bit, right? Like, sure, Exum is hurt all the time and paid more. But I don't know if I would trade 2 second-round picks for Jordan Clarkson.
No. But what is Dante Exum's contract? I think he
makes $10 million a year.
Yeah, so he is. I would probably pay that to get rid of. You and I think have different levels of belief in Dante Exum, but essentially they're selling those 2 second-round picks for Dante Exum's $9 million salary next year, I think. Because I think Jordan Clarkson's contract is up.
Mm-hmm.
Here's
my thing. Dante Exum, who I like a lot, he's very good when he plays. In fact,
he's not, though. That's the thing.
But a few days ago, he had 28 points.
Yeah, he's just...
Okay, he was really good in the playoffs that one time.
He just
short limited minutes.
He's just not really good at anything specific. He's fast.
Yeah.
Or he was fast.
He's still only 24.
Yes. How many career games has he played?
Not very many. But what I was going to say is this is the another in a long line of not trading a guy for way too long and making him untouchable, you know? Where it's like, I like to call it the Rodrigue Bubois, who was very famously a Dallas Mavericks French guy.
Yes.
Who had who scored 50 points in a game against the Warriors, I believe. Uh-huh. But also was hurt all the time, and they kept making him untouchable, and like teams would ask for him for like really good players, and they'd be like, no, we're not giving up Rodrigue Bubois.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Dirk Nowitzki didn't win a championship for 3 years because they held on to this injured guy.
Roddy B, baby.
I think you could also make an argument that Nick Batum was a Rodrigue Bubois.
He was like good though.
Yeah, but it's still like one of those things where it's like,
you know, the
people get blinded by potential that isn't necessarily there, you know?
I mean, look, Nick Batum, it is insane that he sparked a bidding war between like a blood feud between the Blazers and Timberwolves, but I believe that just fit into the general city feud that they had, mm-hmm. where it was like the Wolves signed Brandon Roy to screw the Blazers out of a bunch of insurance money and cap room, mm-hmm. but it was all like went
but that
back
was the
like,
end of yeah of it yeah,
yeah yeah it went from like one of those teams signed the other team's right guard, mm-hmm. and then the other team signed their receiver to a poison pill contract. And anyway, just the weirdly contentious early Kevin Pritchard years. But I think Jordan Clarkson is kind of a perfect fit in Utah.
I mean, he is because Mike Conley's been so bad at offense this year. They need someone to shoot a lot.
They don't really have a lot of ball handlers. They have Mitchell and Conley, and, Exum just kind of wasn't playable, and he was hurt all the time.
I mean, Boyan and Ingles both sort of are supposed to be able to handle the ball, but
it's just they're not, like, the team just has no depth,
basically.
They're
a weird team. I don't understand why they're not better. I'm going to be
honest. Because they traded a bunch of people for Mike Conley, and he has been garbage.
Yeah.
And they kind of miss Derek Favors, I would say, too. As weird as that is to say.
I don't know if you can miss a thing that does not exist, John.
That's true.
Because, once again, in case you didn't know, we here at Round Ball Rock believe that Derek Favors is actually a hologram.
Mm-hmm.
No one has ever actually seen him play basketball. Like, he's just numbers on a sheet.
It's like a matrix. Like, you know, he did reappear once people stopped paying attention to the Pelicans, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Much like a magic eye that, like, you can't look directly at it. By the way, that's how they got the capital to trade for Jordan Clarkson. Mm-hmm. This is the Smilagic pick they got that... The Warriors sent a second-round pick in 2023 for Serbian teenager, mm-hmm. Helen Smilagic.
And my new favorite Golden State Warrior.
New favorite Golden State Warrior. That was the Pelicans flipped that for Derek Favors. And then the other pick they got is the pick that the Spurs sent the Utah Jazz 4 years ago for taking Boris Diaw so they could sign Pau Gasol.
I'm the same.
In hindsight, they should have stayed with Boris.
Yeah. All right. Another big story we missed because we were on break.
Uh-huh.
David Stern died.
Is it weird that I kind of don't really care?
No. He's like an old man. Like, old rich dudes die all the time.
Yeah.
He did some good stuff. He did some bad stuff. I'm going to say yeah. did not seem like a very good person, but also was like a funny guy. So
yeah, I mean, like you kind of can't be a good person and be the commissioner.
Uh-huh.
He seemed like he was, yeah, he was funny.
Yeah, it was funny when he'd like egg the crowd on into booing him. I liked that. His mustache was funny. But yeah, he seemed like kind of a jerk. But at a time when the NBA, I guess, needed a jerk. But then he was a jerk for too long.
Like, he was the lead counsel against Oscar Robertson's free agency case. It did seem like maybe the NBA did have way too many people doing cocaine, and David Stern did seem like a less racist man
than
working
most,
for yeah, a bunch of racists.
Yeah. That's true. Also less sexist, because he refused to let the WNBA fold, so that was cool.
And he was I would say good moments with Magic Johnson.
But also bad moments with Allen Iverson in the dress code. Was real racist.
I was going to give him the good things first, Joey.
Sorry.
I would have led with letting Oklahoma City's Band of Pirates steal the Supersonics. Yeah. But, like, you know, he was with Magic Johnson and HIV, he had a very reasonable response. It did seem like the NBA was more progressive than other leagues. And that the visionary move with the Chris Paul trade veto, which history has upheld and it has remained very uncontroversial.
Anyway, I don't care. Like, I'm sorry for his family or whatever, but we don't need to sit here and suck off David Stern like every other NBA podcast. All right.
Yay, in your face. suck on those nuts.
Let's talk about this, though. This is more our wheelhouse, I think, Sean. D12, Dwight Howard. He's in the dunk contest, baby.
I'm way in. I don't think he'll be good. But whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem with the dunk contest is it's a bunch of guys no one cares about competing. Uh-huh. And it's like, even when a guy is pretty good, like Hamidou Diallo was pretty good last year. Uh-huh. No one cares because he doesn't play in basketball games.
Fucking Hamidou Diallo.
Yeah, and like and that big thing where they were like, we're going to bring in this great dunker from the G League to compete with these guys. And it was like, well, he's competing with guys that are one step out of the G League themselves. And
but also, that guy's in the dunk contest again this year now that he's a real NBA player, Derrick Jones Jr.
I mean, he's going to play. He's kind of a better NBA player than a dunker, honestly.
Real sick in-game dunks.
He's cool.
Dunks on people a lot, but yes.
It's like anything. It's really hard to get motivated for a competition when you don't know anything about the teams involved and you don't have a rooting interest. And it's like,
yeah, get more famous guys to be in the dunk contest.
Yeah, like I would rather have a shittier dunk contest with more famous people. And that seems wrong, but I mean, also a little secret, Joey, not that much range between a good dunk and a great dunk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing something clever, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like the things I've really liked was when people do insane things like having a mascot turn around on a hoverboard. Mm-hmm.
Blowing out a birthday candle. That's not that good of a dunk.
No.
In fact, perfect example. One of my favorite dunks ever is a Dwight Howard dunk. And it's the stupid Superman one.
No.
It's when he sticks that sticker of his face on top of the backboard.
Yeah.
And it takes everyone like 15 minutes to realize what happened.
Yeah, the same with the birthday cake dunk, where it's always like Ernie Johnson and Charles Barkley have no idea what happened, and Kenny Smith still doesn't get it immediately, but gets it like a minute earlier than everyone else, and is like, he blew out the candle! And people are like, what? So it was pretty far away.
So here's my question for you, Sean.
Yeah.
What dunk do you want to see Dwight Howard do?
Okay, I don't want to jump on what everyone else has said and some variation of the fart dunk. Mm-hmm. I do want to, because we mentioned the fart dunk, I should bring out the dunk discussed a lot on the soon to be late great Take It or Break It podcast, the shit dunk, mm-hmm. which I always thought was the dunk that makes the guy stopping the dunk shit.
No.
It's actually a dunk that you dunk so hard it you makes shit your you pants. Take
yeah.
a shit.
Yeah.
I think Dwight Howard might do that accidentally, but it won't be because of like power. It'll be like adjusting his body's still adjusting to not downing like 8 pounds of sugar a day. And I would like to see. Okay, so what matches Dwight Howard the most? I mean, say yours. You had the best idea.
Okay, so you know how like when Beavis and Butthead will like present at the Emmys?
Yeah.
Where it's a cartoon and everyone's just pretending they're there.
Yeah.
I want to see him dunk over Peter Griffin.
That's incredible. I would like to see him bring back his Thanos costume from Halloween and dunk as that. But I kind of think it would fit Dwight Howard more if he dressed up as Austin Powers and dunked over a fembot.
Mm-hmm, that's pretty
good. That's like the Dwight wheelhouse.
Okay, here's another one I want to see. If we're doing costumes.
Yeah.
He brings his wife out.
Okay.
He's dressed as Borat.
He's married?
Okay. He had, whatever. He brings wife out. Somebody's okay. wife.
Yeah.
He's dressed as Borat. He dunks over the wife. You know what I mean?
That's pretty good. I'd also like to see a move where he brings out LeBron to throw him a lob off the backboard. And so they set it up and LeBron intentionally misses it twice. Mm-hmm. And they both act like, oh, what's going on? And then he throws up a lob. Dwight goes up to get it, but actually bounces it off the backboard himself. And Alex Caruso has meanwhile sprinted out of a seat and he catches that lob and he dunks it instead. And then Dwight's like, look, I'm all about team now.
Okay. I'd also like to see him do what's called the Jose Canseco.
Okay.
Where he throws a lob, he bounces a lob up really high and then goes to dunk it, but then accidentally bobbles it and it goes off his head into the hoop.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's Dwight's wheelhouse now, right? I mean, he's good. He's good, but he's a Jose Canseco motherfucker.
He's the clown prince of basketball and definitely could have a similar training regimen to Jose Canseco. Come on. Right?
All right.
Oh, the other thing I would like him to do is he puts a can of Diet Pepsi on the rim and he dunks the basketball and spills the Diet Pepsi in honor of his encounter with Stan Van Gundy.
Oh, dude, what if he just dunks on Stan Van Gundy?
That would be so tight.
All right. Sean, do you want to talk about our next story here?
Yeah, sure. I was just amazed at this. Like, it's not a surprise that the Heat are retiring Dwayne Wade's jersey. It is somewhat of a surprise that it's a 3-day ceremony. Thanks to Katie Heindel for pointing this out at Whatevs. I'll just read this press release. On the Friday before, they're retiring his jersey on a Saturday game against the Cavs, Dwayne Wade's true team.
they're not gonna do it when LeBron is there.
They might have missed that opportunity. I don't know.
That's fucking weird. The Cavs? Is it because both LeBron and Shaq played there? His two best teammates.
Yeah, his two best teammates. yeah, his favorite teammates, Shaq, LeBron, and Zydrunas Ilgauskas. So on the Friday before the game, the Heat will hold an event called Flashback, honoring Dwayne Wade's impact on the NBA, the Miami Heat, and South Florida. Apparently that's just to season ticket holders, premium seat holders, and the Heat's corporate partners.
And what is it?
I don't understand what it is. it's at the arena, and then they're having the game in the jersey retirement on Saturday, and then Sunday they're going to be screening a documentary called D-Wade Bigger Than Basketball at the arena at 3:30 the next day.
Okay.
That's too much. But I guess, you know, his famous nickname, Three, his jersey number, the number of rings he got, and the name that literally everyone calls him all the time, Three. I just have one question. I mean, this is just weird. I don't have a lot to add, except, Joey, how many days did they devote to Dan Marino's jersey retirement?
Fewer than Michael Jordan's.
Yep. I keep thinking they retired Danica Patrick's jersey. And I'm like, no, I'm thinking of the...
You're thinking of a different the player, editor. Of
the player's tributes.
All right, and finally, Sean, we haven't talked about him in a while, but you know what time it is.
I do. Sadly, I do.
It's Tillman time, baby.
It's Tillman time. That's right. Texas Tillman, Trump supporter, State House man, and billionaire buyer. Houston Rockets motherfucker. Tillman time.
How does Tillman describe himself?
A motherfucker.
All I do is win, win, win.
Tillman time.
All right, Sean. What's going on with the owner of with Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Houston Rockets and of multiple high and low end chain restaurants?
Yes. Well, he's been a little quiet recently.
He has.
Might be the new year. He made a resolution, but he's back releasing Gary Clark, the backup who played his way into the Rockets rotation and all of our hearts this year. He was released because his contract was imminently guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Heat want to either sign him to a team-friendly contract, which they attempted to do. Who was the guy they tried to do this with last year?
Daniel House.
Yes, who did get a long-term deal, but it was not as team-friendly as perhaps Tillman had hoped, I believe, was the result of that, right? So, and they've said that they might just try to fill his spot on the buyout market. So, once again, doesn't seem like Tillman wants to spend a great deal of money on the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible maybe Ben McLemore has just taken his spot.
Sean, can I read you some quotes? Look, I do actually have a Tillman Fertitta Google alert, but somehow I missed this one. This is an old one, but I feel like we should read this. This is from September 2019. It's a Yahoo Finance article, and it's called Houston Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta on why, quote, socialism scares the hell out of me, unquote. And here's here's the quote. Socialism scares the hell out of me because you will shut people down like myself, who every day is building something, creating jobs, employing people, waving people to save money. Quote, I am the American dream. Anybody can do it if I can do it. Believe me, I'm not the smartest in the room. I just worked really hard, and socialism really scares me.
Tillman gets a bunch of government subsidies for a lot of his projects. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But that does mesh with the tone of Shut Up and Listen, Tillman Fertitta audiobook,
which
that
I haven't I haven't done it yet. I'm sorry I haven't done it yet, Sean. We'll get on
that. You've been talking too much. You're not listening.
I have to shut up and listen to his 3-hour audiobook.
Yeah. Honestly, I can't get as worked up about this move. I find it hard to care, but I do think it is good. It's bad news for the city of Houston. Great news for the city of Austin. because I believe Gary Clark will be back on Austin City Limits.
What I will say is, remember last year when he said they were supposed to pay the tax and then they accidentally fell out of it? Yeah, I don't think that was an accident anymore, Sean, considering what's happening right now.
Does not send a great message for people trying to hustle their way into the Rockets rotation, I would say.
Well, you know what? Bootstraps, baby. He didn't pull himself up by his bootstraps hard enough.
Yeah,
that's why Gary Clark's gone.
Yeah, you want a government CBA handout, Gary Clark?
Anyway, I hope he does something crazier soon so I don't have to read quotes from 4 months ago.
Sean, I kind of feel like the trade deadline is going to be Tillman time.
I hope so. Sean, I think that's our show.
I think that's a show too, yeah.
Anything you want to plug?
I've got some stuff on Yard Barker this week. I controversially called for the trade of Joel Embiid.
Oh, yeah. Are people mad at you for that?
They kind of were, and then other people were like, well, they got to trade one of them. like Philly fans are... Okay, they're distracted by calling for Clowney's arrest for hitting Carson Wentz. So my timing was good in that respect. But also, I think it's just like so instinctual as a Philly fan to freak out. Most people are like, what are you talking about? And I'm not really calling for them to do that now. I do feel like they will eventually have to trade one of them. Mm-hmm. And they could probably get more for Embiid. That's all. And he's a big old center playing in 2020. I kept writing in the NBA in 2019 and then having to change it.
As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where boy did I tweet a lot of good stuff over the break. On January 6th, I tweeted, I just waited on hold with the IRS for over 78 minutes and they just ended the call. FML equals Frankie Muniz's life.
Whoa. By the way, check out Joey's Instagram at Frankie Muniz on Instagram for a truly bizarre video of Frankie renting out a Boston market for his girlfriend's birthday.
I don't think he really rented it out. I think it was just empty.
I mean,
and he made that joke, but who knows? Sean, did you write a song?
I did. I wrote a song just because of our great reader mail, voicemail / correction. I did some research. I learned even more facts about that beautiful region of Ontario. And I wrote a song called Waterloo Kitchener with my good friend Ray Davies.
Oh, are you guys going to fight on stage?
We already did. I am very bruised.
That's playing under us right now. And trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's not go to war in Iran for 20 years again.
Shut the war down.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay home.
Red River Valley, St. Lawrence Lowlands, on the Haldimand Track. Near Wilmot Township, Menonite Settlements, and Grand Trunk Railway Tracks. And Drummond, we're east from there. And when he goes back to Waterloo, he is in paradise. Every day I'm confused by the radio pattern roadways. Every street it keeps me cross three times. Waterloo Kitchener's fine.
Waterloo Kitchener's fine.
Jamal needs Scott Stevens, Hall of Fame defenseman, at center in the square. They're seeing the symphony, Beakers and Coffee, Armenian theaters there.
that they love the acoustics as long as they're hanging in water the kitchener. Things will be hellish in. Every day I appreciate the revamp Lake Tenerife. Digital media companies are inside the water the Kitchener's fine.
Water the Kitchener's fine.
500,000 people live in the Tri-Cities where they felt away from Earth. Home of Lennox Lewis, Conestoga students, and the 10th Prime Minister. And there are Raptors fans, but if Jamal's playing, Water the Kitchener, we'll root for him cause they're nice. And when he goes back to Water the Kitchener, he is in paradise. Water the Kitchener's fine. Water the Kitchener's fine.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.